Good evening and welcome to this evening's Good Friday service. If you would join me responsively, stay seated though. There's no reason to rise at this time. My name is Bob Fuchs. I'm the Director of Discipleship here at Brighton First. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ was lifted high upon the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. Grant that we, who glory in this death for our salvation, may also glory in his call to take up our cross and follow him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Sherry Parker. I'm the lead pastor here at Brighton First. And we have been through Lent talking about how hurried our lives are, how quick we are to move through even the events of this Passion Week. And so we've decided on this evening, this actually sunny evening, to spend some time in quiet meditation over one of the scripture accounts of Jesus' death. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke. And so you have in front of you not only the order of worship, which is in the gray order there, but another piece of paper, two sheets that say the Way of the Cross, Good Friday. And you will find in there the scripture readings, all except for one, Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin isn't there, but the rest are. And we're going to ask that in some time of meditation after each of the scripture readings that you respond as you would like to. Now, I've been reading a book in recent months about praying in color. And the author of the book talks about how if we're doodling, nothing fancy, but if we're writing in some way, that we might stay more intent in prayer. So I'm going to give you a couple of options that you have, and we'll be 2 to 3 minutes after each scripture, just to tell you that the silence will end, you know, the meditation will end, but 2 to 3 minutes. And so one of the options is to simply walk through the scripture again that you have in front of you and to just read it. Another option is that Chris will put up on the screen one verse from each of the sections that we read, and so you may just spend some time considering that one verse and its meaning. Another option is to walk into prayer. You can do it through the scripture words. If you're more of a word person, you might take your pencil and just start picking out the words that jump out to you and sit and think on those words. Open your mind to those and let the Holy Spirit come as you consider those words. If you're a doodler, another thing that you might do is take a, you could draw an image, you can make a shape, you might circle words and draw around them, but use your pencil as a way to put boundaries on your prayer and to just use that as you pray and as you concentrate. Or if you're just saying, that is way out for me, I'm not going to go there, the other option is simply to spend that time in prayer. Maybe to read through the scripture again in silence and then to offer prayer. What kind of prayers? Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession, those are the prayers of offering for others, prayers of adoration, just naming God and what God has done for us this night, this day. And it is our hope that in this, that we walk away saying, wow, it took someone else to say it, but I have slowed down and I have spent some quality time in prayer and I have found that Christ by the Holy Spirit moves in this place. And so, are you ready? Let's try. I'd like to read to you our first selection of scripture. You find it on page 2. Jesus prays alone. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
You may be seated. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns."
I invite you into a time of prayer with me as community. Lord, we come this night, the day full of all kinds of activities. For some of us, we've worshiped in other places already. For others, we're coming from work. Some of us have had an evening meal and others have not. For some of us, it has been a quiet day, an ordinary day. And for others, it was knocking off the to-do list, getting things accomplished. For some, it was preparing for company, and for others, preparing for travel and time away. You know, all the places that we've been. And like the people who gathered in Jerusalem in these days leading to your death, we come with varied emotions. For some of us, distracted by the day and all that needed to be accomplished. For others of us, sad and mourning for this fate that awaits you. For others of us, resolved, and for all of us as your people, your believers, we have come with this glimmer of hope. And we understand that we recognize this night and your death because you live. Fill us and sustain us over these next 2 days. Days when we remember your body laid in a tomb, and in the midst of our busyness, have us pause and remember what you went through for each of us and what you have defeated and what you have brought to life by your death and resurrection, and to keep us ever mindful that you not only live, but as you connect with us. We pray for this greater world, that there might be hope through your life, that your death would not be in vain, and that more will come to know you as Savior. We pray for individuals in our families and in our circle of friends and colleagues who see no difference in this day or Sunday. that they might come to know the joy of resurrection and life through you. We pray for leaders of worship who prepare for a grand day and for those who move through this worship service and others this night. For readers and pastors, for musicians. And we give you thanks for those who commemorate your life and your death and your resurrection in leadership. And we pray, Lord, for ourselves, that in some way, as we remember the story of your death, as we await the empty tomb, as we celebrate your resurrection, that we are changed and made fully yours. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This next scripture is not printed in your scripture booklet. If you feel moved to draw an image or to continue doodling, you can where you are. You could use the back sheet of the bulletin or of the booklet, or simply use this time to continue in prayer. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated on the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips."
Continuing our reading on page 4, Jesus before Pilate and Herod. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate.
Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and find no basis for your charges against him. Neither is Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us! Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, Crucify him! Crucify him! For the third time he spoke to them, Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the king of the Jews.
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The sun is set. Jesus' followers have scattered. His body is taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb. All hope is lost. For God so loved the world. And this is how the world repaid that love. As we leave here tonight, we know the rest of the story. But I advise you, take this time to slow down and wait. Wait for hope. Wait for peace. Wait for love. Amen.